In your Bibles this evening, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're going to deal with verses 25 through 29 this evening, considering the matter of two resurrections. John's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, the Scripture says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." This fifth chapter of the Gospel of John is an interesting chapter. It begins with the story of an impotent man, sick for some 38 years, who was healed by the power of Jesus. There was no other explanation. There was no other reason for his healing other than the fact that Jesus brought healing into his life. Now, you would think that an occasion like that, witnessed by anybody and everybody who was part of it, would just be amazed. It would be a time of rejoicing. It would be a time of giving praise and honor to God. But we see that that wasn't the case. Although the man himself was greatly relieved and tremendously happy that he had received healing in his body, we were told very quickly that the religious leaders of the day, the religious leading Jews of the community, were upset with that because this event took place on the Sabbath day, and they were convinced that this man was guilty of working on the Sabbath because he had picked up his bed, as Jesus told him, and walked carrying that bed. So they were very upset with him because he broke the Sabbath law. Very sad that a group of religious people, a group of people who profess to know God, know about God and know Him personally, would be upset with the work of God and would be more concerned about keeping ritual and tradition than they would about God touching this man and making him whole. So they approach Jesus. They look for an occasion to accuse Him. They want to bring charges against Him. Ultimately, they want to bring about His death just to get rid of Him, simply because He is teaching something contrary to their man-made laws and rules. So Jesus justified His actions. He told them why it was that He worked on the Sabbath day. He said it was that He was doing nothing more than what the Father gave Him to do. He wasn't doing anything on His own. He wasn't initiating anything that didn't come as a direct command from the Father. And He made mention of the fact that My Father is always working. Always has been, always will. I and the Father are one. That's what got Him in trouble when He claimed equality with God the Father. And so they're arguing, they're looking for a reason to accuse, and Jesus then begins to speak of judgment and eternal life. So we pick up in the chapter 5 right here with these verses that we look at this evening. Look at verse 25 again. Verse 25 says, Jesus speaking, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, what exactly is Jesus talking about? Is He talking about something that is going to occur at the end of time? Is He talking about something that's going to take place at the rapture, or perhaps even past that, at the great white throne judgment? Or is He talking about something different? Now, you could almost conclude that He is indeed talking about something that's going to take place out yonder sometime, except for the fact that He said, the hour is coming, so you think automatically of something that's going to take place in the future, but He concludes by saying, and now is. So there's a bit of a here and later type thing that he's trying to get across to him. But there is nothing totally future about what he's saying. There is a part of what he's saying that's going to take place in the future, but there's very much a part that is going to take place in the present time. Now, the dead here, those who are referred to being the dead, it's not a reference to the physically dead. Obviously, it is a reference to those who are spiritually dead. If you're trying to figure out what does it mean to be spiritually dead, it simply means to be separated from God. It simply means to have no relationship with God. If you have no relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, you are already spiritually dead. You don't have to do anything to become spiritually dead. You're not waiting until that time when you fall into spiritual death. You are born spiritually dead. You are born separated from God. Now, if we take the gospel seriously, if we believe the gospel as it presents itself, we must see that spiritual death is a very grim condition. It ought to be something that brings joy to your heart, knowing that you have passed from death unto life. But by the same token, it ought to be something that puts a burden on your heart, because you know of many friends, family members, and loved ones and acquaintances that have not made that journey from spiritual death into life. And it's a reality. If they leave this world without making that journey, they will spend eternity in a devil's hell. The verb to hear, and I won't get into this to a great deal, but it's in the genitive case in the Greek language, which means that you hear with understanding. It's not that you're just hearing it audibly. It's that you're hearing and you're knowing what's being said. You're understanding everything that is being spoken. So, these people are hearing with understanding what Jesus is saying to them. When the spiritually dead, those who are outside the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, hear the sound of Jesus' voice, some hear with understanding and appreciation, some don't hear at all. Those who hear, in this genitive case, those who hear with understanding know what Jesus is talking about. They know that He's not talking about physical death. They know that He's talking about their spiritual condition and their lostness. And they understand and appreciate that He's offering them a way to make the transition from death into life. And He says, those who do hear, they shall live. So, those who do not hear, obviously, shall not live. They're not going to come out of their spiritual dead condition. They're going to remain in it. Now notice that Jesus uses the title, the Son of God, for Himself here. He doesn't do that very often. But He did use it here because no one lesser than God, and Jesus has already equated Himself with God. He said we're co-equals. So no one lesser than the Son of God in this situation would be able to help one pass from life to death. Now, those Jewish leaders would have understood and would have accepted that God is the author of that, that God in heaven, God the Father, would indeed enable a person to pass from spiritual death into life. But they weren't willing to give that same authority or to acknowledge that same authority in Jesus. They weren't willing to say that you are on an equal basis with the Father. But that's what the verse very plainly says. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That was true to the crowd of people that He was speaking to that day. That has been true every day to this very minute, ever since Jesus spoke it. Anyone who is in spiritual darkness, anyone who is yet to come out of spiritual darkness into life, can do so simply by turning to the Lord Jesus. Okay? So, look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself." Here Jesus points out that God's relation to life is not like that of anyone else. The Father, the Scripture says, has life in Himself. We have life because God gave to our first parents, Adam and Eve, the gift of life. He formed them out of the dust. He formed Adam out of the dust. He formed Eve out of the rib of Adam. And He breathed life into them. And since then, all of our parents, every parent that we've ever had, all those who are parents here this evening, those who children will be parents someday, come together and they give life. That's how we got from Adam and Eve to the billions of people that populate the earth today. They were given life by parents. But the Scripture tells us that God never had such a gift. God never needed the gift of life. God has always been. And I know that's one of the most difficult things for people to grasp and understand. Everybody in our finite minds tend to believe that there had to be a starting place somewhere. You can go back all the way to this point, but there had to be a starting point. And you say, no, there has never been a time that God was not. God has always been. Well, where did He come from? He came from Himself. Okay? He has always been. He is a spirit. He is the creator of the universe. Think about that for a moment. The creator of the universe. We do well to understand our world. We do well to think in terms of what takes place on planet Earth. But we're just one of eight planets in our Milky Way. Saturn, the furthest planet away, would take years in space travel to get there. And yet we wonder, who put all of this in order? It had to start with someone somewhere. Well, yes, it started with God. And we go back to the question, well, where did He come from? You simply have to understand that God has always been. You know the emphasis, the stress that we put on the element of faith. Some things are totally unexplainable. They're inexplicable. You simply have to believe by faith that the Word of God is speaking the truth. God has always been. He never needed anyone to give Him life. Jesus has that same quality. So we read that verse again and it says, for the Father has life in Himself. And then we imagine, well, if Jesus is the co-equal with the Father, He obviously has life in Himself too. But the verse goes on and says, and He, the Father, has granted the Son to have life in Himself. Basically, that's a statement about Jesus' authority while He was here on earth. Even though He was totally God and totally man at the same time, He laid down some of His independent authority, if you will. Some of the things that He could have done in heaven without ever checking with the Father, because He and the Father were one. They thought alike, they are alike, their essence is alike. So He had that independent authority in heaven. But when He came to earth, even though He did not give up His deity, He did give up some of His independent authority. And the Scripture here is making sure that we understand that God granted Him the authority, even as a human being on earth, to be an individual who can give life. What kind of life? That life that enables someone to pass from spiritual death into spiritual life. That's what's being spoken of in that verse of Scripture. Now look at verse 27. And has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man title is simply a title that addresses the humanity of Jesus and the humiliation of Jesus, if you will. He humbled Himself. and became a man. Just think of that for a moment. Here you have the Son of Glory, the Son of God, co-equal with God the Father, who has willingly said, I will humble myself and take on the form of one of them. Take on the form of a human being. Now you talk about someone demonstrating humility. It was the person of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get a tad arrogant and we consider our station in life, whatever that station may be, and we see folks who are beneath our station and we're perfectly willing to help them. If we can give them some money, if we can put some clothes on their back, if we can do this, that, or the other, we are perfectly willing to humble ourselves and do that. But we're probably not willing to humble ourselves and go down and live on their level so we can relate to them and understand them. Yet Jesus did that. And the extent that He lowered Himself, unimaginable, incomprehensible to the human mind. He humbled Himself, and that phrase, Son of Man, speaks to that. Now, the Jews believed that judgment, just like life, belonged to God the Father. So they didn't think that Jesus had any right whatsoever to judge anyone. They didn't allow the possibility for judgment also belonging to the Messiah. It belonged only to God the Father in their thinking. So when Jesus makes statements about judgment and is granted the authority to execute judgment, they're having difficulty with that. Again, in their eyes, guilty of blasphemy. Okay, now look at verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice. There's a day coming. And what a day that's going to be. That's one of those things in Scripture that's really going to be worth witnessing. One of these days, everyone in a grave will hear His voice. And they will come forth. Now think in the situation with Lazarus, when Jesus weeping over the death of His friend, and He's standing outside that tomb where Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. And His sisters are kind of imploring Him, don't move that stone away. He's been dead for 3 days. The smell will be offensive. We don't want to disrespect our brother. And Jesus simply said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And He did. Still wrapped up like a mummy. Still in His grave clothes. He came out of the grave. Now, it is important to understand why Jesus made that statement, Lazarus, come forth. If He had been facing that cemetery and simply said, come forth, every grave in that cemetery would have emptied. He has that authority. He has that power. Wasn't time for that to take place. But there is a day coming when the voice of Jesus is heard by everyone and anyone who is in a grave, and they will come forth. Those who have done good will come to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, Jesus is not teaching, not even hinting, at a salvation by works there. When He's saying those who have done good, the good is they have understood, they have heard, and they have responded in faith to Jesus, and they have passed from spiritual death into life. So they've done good in receiving Jesus as their Savior. That's the good that is being spoken of there, not works. It's the good thing is they've appropriately received Christ as their Savior. When they hear His voice, they will come forth. They will be resurrected unto life. Those who have done evil, and evil there again does not speak to the nature of works. It speaks to the fact that those are the ones who rejected Christ. Those are the ones who did not appropriately respond to the call of His voice. They too will be resurrected, but their resurrection will be to condemnation. Every individual who has ever lived, other than the generation that is alive when Jesus comes to rapture the church, every person who has ever gone to the grave is going to be resurrected. Sometimes, as Christians, we think the only resurrection that's going to take place is the resurrection of Christians. No, every individual will be resurrected. You will either be resurrected because of your faith in Jesus to eternal life with Him in heaven, or you will be resurrected to eternal separation from all that is godly in a devil's hell. Now, the works, again, don't play into the good and evil there. The works are the result of the relationship that you have in your salvation experience with Jesus. If Jesus has truly saved you, you're going to work to demonstrate your love and your service to Him. If that's not true, if Jesus is not in your heart, your works are going to be evil. They're going to demonstrate the things of this world. But don't confuse that with the fact that He's talking about those who have received Christ here and those who have rejected Christ. Everybody's going to experience resurrection. And the important thing is to know this side of the grave, which resurrection you're going to be a part of. Any questions about those verses?